You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hey, you're listening to Adulting with Horses, the best place to be if you can't be at the barn. We are your co-hosts and equine authors, Heather Wallace and Natalie Keller Reinert. As crazy horse girls, we don't take ourselves too seriously in the saddle or out. We celebrate the things that make us different. Join us as we talk about horses and pop culture and get a little weird in a fun way. Thank you for being a little weird with us. Hey, Natalie, how are you?
I exist, I think, after liminal week.
Yeah, what day is it? I don't even know if we know.
I thought it was the 3rd, but it's the 2nd. And I don't know. I got up at like 10:30 yesterday.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that day was so long that I thought it was 2 days. I was only awake for like 12 hours.
I'm actually kind of loving. I always take the week between Christmas and New Year's off. Always. Because, you know, I'm a mom and I make Christmas magic happen.
Yeah. And that's a job.
It is a full-time job, especially
it anymore because it's too much work.
Well, it's the busiest season, too. Fall is my busiest season between events and everything. And, of course, the rush for everybody to get their horses and dogs done before Christmas. And then, but I've been sleeping in, and I haven't had anywhere to go. So, of course, we forgot to record until today, right?
Yeah.
Because we don't know what day it is.
I definitely did the, like, wonder if Heather wants to record this week. I won't ask her. That I do where I spaced out. I got spaced out into work. I wasn't gonna work through the end of the year, and then last weekend I started doing some research for my long-term project, and I got really into the research, and then getting really into the research got me way into the manuscript. So I totally got sucked into this project.
This is what you do. This is what happens, actually, to both of us, because
it's so fun.
I'm never in front of a computer, right? When I'm doing body work, I'm always out on the road. And so, like, I'll sit down and I'll do, like, half a day of just answering emails. And then now that I've had, like, a week, I'm like, oh, maybe I should write a chapter. Maybe I should do this. Maybe, oh, yeah, I'll do that interview with that person that they've been asking me for 6 months to do. Like, it is.
Oh, yeah, I have something in my DMs. Yeah, totally. Just remember that. Yeah.
Right. It's like a, it's hilarious. Well, you know, we get pulled in different directions, and just like with anything, what happens, I'm going to ask rhetorically, but I think we both know what happens. What happens when you're so busy that you don't have time to focus on your horses?
Your horses fall apart.
Yes.
Not because they're not getting attention. They don't need attention.
No.
But because they crave attention.
And if they're my horses, they crave chaos. Right? They're like, oh, yes. Heather's starting to save some money again. This is great. Vet bill. So
I have seen so many people with big vet bills for the past like couple of days.
Yeah.
I think there's something in the air.
Well, it's winter.
Full moon.
And I'm lucky because I have very healthy horses. Mm-hmm. However, Ferris needed his percent medication for his Cushing's, which is like $500.
Yeah.
At the same time that we had to have an emergency vet visit for Delight.
Delight is supposed to be the easy retired pony.
Isn't it funny? He has been until now.
Yeah, you don't bring up Delight a lot, just except to say Delight is a wild man.
And he's perfect.
Delight runs free. Delight is a Mustang.
He's a feral beast, and he generally loves it. But every once in a while, he craves attention. And, you know, a couple of years ago, he, like, I don't know, banged his knee against the stall door, and he was, like, three-legged for 3 days. And there was no scrape. There was no bruise. There was no – but he was just – he wanted and craved the attention. And, you know, I'm anthropomorphizing, obviously, a little bit, but, yeah, so he's been lame for, like, 5 weeks.
My God, that is, yikes.
Like, not
even thoroughbred, falling apart.
I wish I could say, like, and it's been intermittent, but I came in, I got a call from the trainer, and she was like, Heather, your horse is a flamingo. Came in, his whole leg was off the ground in the flamingo pose. Like, he wouldn't put it down.
Well, I know what that is because I have had thoroughbreds and I've walked into my barn. I remember walking in as a teenager. It was when I first moved my horse from full care to self care. So, you know, all of a sudden I didn't have somebody there. I was like 14, maybe 13. And my horse was literally wouldn't put any weight on his foreleg. I was like, this is it. My horse is dead. This is it. This
broken
is
broken leg.
Broken leg. Oh no. Abscess.
Yeah.
Abscess.
Yeah. So I'll be honest, in 30 years of horses, and obviously I've only owned for like 8. But in 30, I've never had to deal with an abscess. So like, I guess my time is up.
Oh my God. As a Floridian who's always had thoroughbreds, abscesses are like a weekly occasion.
Well, I mean, I'm happy that we figured it out. Like, so like I called the vet and the farrier the same day, right? Because he was clearly due anyway. He was over at the toe. And I was like, you know, I've been doing body work on him. He's like really tight in the lower back. It doesn't feel like a tendon. Like, cause I was worried about that. He had like strained a suspensory ligament or like he pulled his tendon. Cause he's wild, right? Like he runs around and gallops the field. So the farrier was the first to call. The vet was not in town and it wasn't really deemed an emergency cause thoroughbred, right? So, and she's good. I trust her. He comes out and he knows his feet so well. And he was just like, oh yeah. Oh yeah, I feel it. Like he couldn't get to it all the way, so he's like, "But I want X-rays because we might have to like change the angle of his hooves and blah blah blah, whatever." So yeah. I was like, "Well, this is great news. Now we know what it is, right?" Yeah. So like, at least it's not a mystery lameness. And so I learned how to wrap. I learned how to wrap an abscess and like soak and all that. I never knew.
That's great. I can't believe. I used to wrap a mean hoof.
Yeah, no, I'm terrible at it. But
I haven't had to do it in a while. But, whew, boy, I used to be able – I get wrapped so tight, that horse will be like, oh, my God, I have a whole new foot. They'll canter away.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I watched my trainer, who's one of my closest friends ever, and she's like – I look to her for everything because, one, she used to own this horse, and, two, like, she just knows everything. Unlike many trainers in the United States, she actually went to school for it. So, you know,
I mean, like, that's impressive.
Right. So, you know, I stick to glue on what she says. So she's showing me how to do it and she's just like making it look so easy and he's loving all the attention. Like he's not kicking. He's not being sensitive. Like he's just, but it started traveling up his leg. Like, so he started getting like swollen and edema up his leg all the way up to the hock. And I was like, no, 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 we can't have like sepsis. Like we can't
so
have this.
Crazy.
So he's like hot to touch, like he's super uncomfortable. So we're leaving him in, we're wrapping him. Then he gets better. So we like let him out to walk around because blood is movement and all that. I kid you not. So 3 different people have wrapped his hooves over the last like 2 weeks. Nothing, right? Like nothing's coming out. Like I went on TikTok. I don't go on social media and ask for advice for anything. Okay. In fact, I tell people not to do that.
Yes. I would agree. Don't ask for advice.
Yep. I had the flu. I was like fighting off symptoms. Oh. I was in my house moo-moo. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Because I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm going to tell you. I want to know about what people on TikTok told you to do to your horse more than anything. I'm guessing they were like, feed him spaghetti, roll him in pumice, like something insane. I personally, I'm a sugar dine baby. Right? Okay. Sugar, iodine, put it in, like, make it a paste, put it on the hoof, wrap the hoof with a baby diaper, duct tape it, wash, rinse, repeat. The whole, like, sugar dine.
And how often do you do that? Like, how often do you, like, do you do it every day or do you
every
do it
day,
on a couple
I
days?
I feel like every day. It's been a long time. But, you know, when it needs redone, and you want to get in there and take a look anyway.
Sure.
And I remember my vet being like, at one point, I had a vet out to look at an abscess. And she goes, oh, well, I would just sugar dine it. And I was like, really? Because that felt like something a cowboy had taught me. And she's like, yeah, that's the best thing. So, okay. So, okay. And then I've
yeah,
heard
that's
other people
a new one to me.
That's what I'm going to say. Like, in the past year, I had somebody say, I've never heard of that. I'm like, really? Because I feel like that was the Central Florida cure for abscesses. Like at every barn with sugar dine to the point where the vets were recommending it. And now I'm starting to hear, oh no, I do something different. So I'm like all ears.
And it's funny. It's funny because everyone does do something different. I guess it's like saddle fitting. So when it comes to my farrier and my vet both said 2 different things, right? So my farrier had me buy Ichthamol and, you know, that drawing salve, and then wrap in, put like a liniment pad, do vet wrap, and then duct tape over it.
Yeah.
Right? And he wanted the heel bulb covered because he was afraid it was going to come out the coronet band and the heel bulb, and he wanted it to come out, I don't know, somewhere else. I don't know. I forget this point.
Yeah.
And so I had that wrapped, and then the vet came, and she hated the ichthyol. It took her a long time to clean it off, to even see anything.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay, well, I want you to wrap it differently. She's like, don't use the ichthyol. Let the hoof dry out a little bit. Then I want you to soak it. Then I want you to wrap it this way. And then she was telling me where, like, how she wanted the poultice pad and how she wanted it free of the heel bulb, but over the coronet band. Right? So I'm getting all these different things. And I'm just like, and then my trainer does it a little bit different too. And so, but I'll fast forward. So most people say, like, soak once a day.
Yeah.
Right? In, like, the Epsom salt or whatever. And then wrap it. And usually it's a variation of, like, either the poultice pad or the diaper. And then duct tape. Like, duct tape is king. Let's just be honest. Yeah. Everybody should have duct tape in there.
And if you only have Gorilla tape around, don't use that. Don't.
Why would you only have Gorilla tape? Like, I feel like...
I don't know. It was a day, man. And there was only like, Gorilla tape. And it doesn't come off. It doesn't come off. It's really bad.
Well, and the nice thing is I have bandage scissors, so I could cut that duct tape right off and like because it was a pad. But I'll be honest. So like, I kind of want to go through one or two of these comments. Yeah. One is by far the most absurd thing I've ever heard.
Oh my God.
But I'm going to preface this by saying nothing I did worked because there's a surprise ending. Are you ready?
Gosh.
Wait, before I go through the TikTok comments, I want everybody to know. So after 4 or 5 weeks, the farrier came again. Because he's like, we need to do his feet. Let's just see what we see. Like, if nothing's coming, like, what the hell? And he sends me, because I couldn't be there, photos and videos. He took the shoes off the back. And there it was, right underneath the shoe.
Sure.
On the right hind, right on the toe. Just a horrendous, disgusting abscess, like, so deep into the heel wall. And that is the foot that's been wrapped. Surprise, he had an abscess in the other hind foot also that we never wrapped. That actually popped first.
That's wild. He must have been so miserable.
Oh my God. I know.
Is it sandier at your new place?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's got to have something to do with it. Sand gets in any little, you know, sand in your house, sand in your bathing suit. It gets into any little crevice.
Especially this time of year. There's not a lot of grass, right?
It's like, I'm going to make a pearl in here. Like, I don't need a pearl. I don't need a pearl.
They keep those pearls to themselves. Well, and the thing is, when it's I think about pearl. It, because he's so pain sensitive, like that is the reason he only acts out if he's discomfort, like if there's discomfort. The fact that he let us treat his right leg, didn't ever kick out, didn't bite, didn't do anything, just literally was like, help. And then didn't even complain about the other one is shocking. My farrier is like, he was the goodest boy. Like,
oh my goodness.
I cannot. He's like, honestly, if this were another horse, they probably would have tried to kill us by now. Like, it was so bad. I'll post the pictures in the clubhouse. It was really bad. And what I find mind-boggling, and again, I'll read the TikTok comments a little bit. The hoof that wasn't soaked actually was the less – it popped first, and it was the deeper one.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't soaked. It wasn't wrapped. Nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any theories to apply to that.
I just wonder if it's like – is it worth – or is it just like – do we just pad for comfort and then let them work it out on them? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. So
– I mean, to a certain extent, you are – you're also guarding against when it does pop, that they don't come in dragging a filthy, you know, open wound in their hoof. And the padding's got to help. They always look more comfortable after you
The
put
padding
several layers of cotton and padding underneath their foot. And, you know, you got to keep it dry, hence all the duct tape.
But, like, what about, you know, like, I don't know if, like, the drawing agents or any of that was worth, like...
I don't know. I believe in Epsom salts, right? Epsom salts have been good for mankind since they were discovered, whenever that was, medieval times. Ichthamal, I'm kind of with your vet on that. It feels kind of racetrack at this point. Like, it's just something you use because you were told to use it, and he was told to use it, and the trainer before him was told to use it. I don't know. And it is gross.
I'm hoping to never, ever have this again, but, like, what's the likelihood of that? I'm interested in trying the Sugardyne thing.
Yeah, it's just sugar and iodine. You just make a paste out of it.
Yeah, I usually have iodine anyway in my tech box. But some of the people in Tech Doctor were really, really great because they had, like, one was like, oh, I do this for 25 minutes. She's like, I 25 minutes in Epsom salt, then packs with the black drawing salve, which is the Ichthamal. Put a baby diaper on, put vet wrap around it, up to the fetlock, make a duct tape boot and put it on, then call the farrier. Like, very specific help, which is lovely. And I did do that. I will say I probably wasn't the best at soaking, but it's winter, you know?
Yeah.
And then other people had recommended, like, the animal lintix pads, which I did use. And they had different ways of using it. Some people soaked it. Some people didn't.
What'd they soak it in?
Just water, like warm water.
Oh, okay. I've never used the poultice pad.
No, I mean, that's what I had been recommended. And you can cut, like, a band out of it and put that over the coronet. And then, and you can also cut it to fit the hoof itself and then wrap and everything. So
that's cool.
But I'm also treating for thrush, like, always because of his heels.
Yeah.
So, like, I, you know, it's so I have to put thrush stuff on it first before wrapping it. So, like, I can't get it too wet because I'm obviously trying to fight thrush. And everyone was really good. They were like, most people were like, call the farrier and vet. I'm like, dude, that would happen 3 weeks ago. Like, I'm all like that. I appreciate it, but I'm already there.
No, now, we have become a research case at this point. They're taking photos.
It's a case study. Okay. But this is the most, and I gotta be honest, this is the most absurd thing I've ever seen. I have to tell you. I'm not gonna name names. Again, nothing against this person. She's on social media. She's trying to be very helpful. I've just, this is odd.
Okay,
All right. She said, a weird hack my farrier told me after soaking, wrap it with sauerkraut. It worked really well. And I have never heard anything more absurd, and yet it's, because it's so absurd, it might actually work.
Okay, so we've got vinegar. Mm-hmm. We've got fermentation.
Acidity, right? Okay. Like all that acidity.
Okay. We have cabbage. Cabbage might have antiseptic properties. Does sauerkraut have antiseptic properties?
I want to Google that. I don't know. Keep talking.
I feel like it could. Okay, so it's definitely full of vitamins. I don't know if that is absorbed through the hoof. So vitamin C, right? It's for the immune system. Basically prevents scurvy. So your horse isn't getting scurvy through their hooves. So that's good. It's soft. It's squishy. That's good.
I mean,
any word on cabbage?
Well, so AI says, because, you know, when you Google, like, AI does the overview. Yeah. So I'm lazy, guys. We're recording this live. It says unpasteurized sauerkraut has natural antiseptic-like properties due to lactic acid fermentation, which increases acidic conditions and produces hydrogen peroxide, which inhibits harmful bacteria and preserves the food. The probiotics can also contribute to its ability to fight pathogens and act as a natural defense. So this might be the most genius weird hack I've ever heard.
I would try it. Although sauerkraut is more expensive than sugar. But
yeah, but I mean, if we're talking like week four, nothing's happening. Like I'm throwing some sauerkraut at that bitch.
Get the boar's head. Like
get the good stuff.
I love a boar's head. Get the refrigerated stuff. That's super interesting. Fermented things, I feel like, don't get enough credit in the modern world, and we've probably lost a lot of grandma knowledge about what fermented things can do for us. And
My ex-husband keeps a huge jar of it for his probiotic. Like, he'll take a spoonful every morning as a probiotic. I prefer to take a pill, but that's because I hate sauerkraut. But
I like sauerkraut, but I feel like cabbage first thing in the morning would be rough, and vinegar. Yeah.
Yeah. He has IBS.
Is it as potent in a pill? That's the question.
Well, I take a Capri and postbiotic or whatever it is. Like I take like the whole three strains or whatever for my for my hormonal gut health.
For sure.
or but, lack thereof. But of course, you know, with all this stress, like he has lost weight, which is not ideal in the winter. And I've been ulcer guarding him because I know how he is with pain. So like I don't want him to get ulcers on top of this. I just, my God, it was like a true detective case because, you know, like he's never had one. And so I didn't know what to look for. And then, you know, I've got the farrier out, the vet out, and we're trying all these things and it's just not popping.
And the plot twist at the end of the second abscess.
Oh, and I mean, I'll tell you. The farrier calls me and he goes, Heather, do you have a minute to talk? And you never want to hear that, right?
No,
you never
want
the farrier to call you.
What did you do?
And he's so good. You know, I trust him with everything. Like, I don't even need to be there. Like, I trust him.
Yeah.
He's so good. And Delight loves his farrier visits. He thinks it's like a spa. You know, he's such a good boy. All my horses have very good ground manners. And so I was like, oh my God, did he kick him? Like, what happened? And he's like, I need to explain the video and the pictures before I send them to you. I was like, oh my God.
God.
So I'm going to post them in the clubhouse. But the good news is it seems like Delight has taken like the new year, new you to heart. he's happy. He's running around. He's
so
got
what he needed.
Right. Yeah, but it took like all of December. Figure that out.
Like, that's
even
terrible.
My barnmate who helped show me how to wrap it before she left for Florida for Christmas was like, it is still there. I'm like, yep.
Yeah, you're thinking it's going to be, you know, a week tops.
Yeah, no. It must have been very deep. We think it actually was from some kind of trauma.
Yes. Because
it was both hinds in the same spot on the toe. And, you know, he plays rough. Like, he gallops, he rears, he pivots. Like, he does all the things. And the ground's hard.
Yeah.
Right now.
Both Ben's hind feet are white.
Okay.
And so you can see the bruising that he gets on the outside. Yeah, on both hooves, he'll have bruising. And every time I see the farrier, I'm like, should I be worried? I'm seeing like literal, you know, tendrils of blue and red. And she's like, does he pick up his feet? I'm like, no.
Not really.
She said, okay, he's bruising and it's showing up in the wall because his walls are white. I'm like, okay, I've never had a horse with, I've really never had a lot of white on any of my horses. So this is the first time. And I have roots and I have hard ground and he digs in with his hind hooves whenever he's chasing Manny.
That might be exactly what it is.
Yeah. He does like a leap. You know, where he's standing still, he digs in his hind hooves. I find marks all over out there. I'm like, dude, this is new grass. Please stop doing this. It just like huge cut marks in the ground. And yeah, so his hind hooves always look bruised.
That's a really good point, actually, because now that I think about it, I mean, not that this is like a light bulb moment, but like it is.
It is.
We've been treating him for thinner hoof walls this season. Because they're a little thinner than they usually are. So that's probably like started with the thinner hoof walls. Then he was acting a fool.
Yeah.
Then he bruised the shit out of them. And then now, you know, weeks later, it's just forming and it just.
And you probably have really similar ground to me at this
probably.
Point where you have a thin layer of sand over clay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it gets so hard. The sand gives
the
and then underneath of it, it's like a rock.
Yeah. And, you know, his field, which I love and I'm never leaving it. So, like, if my trainer is listening to this, like, I will literally cry. It's lovely, but there's a couple trees in it. There's some uneven ground. There's a hill. There's, you know, it's an irregular shape. And so it's great for behavior enrichment. But, you know, there's some things. And he likes to hang out by the tree. For shade, for whatever reason, he's just like a leaner, and there's a lot of roots.
Yeah, and those hard stomps that they do impatiently, like when there's a fly,
right?
And they do the bang, bang, bang on the ground. Mm-hmm. That'll bruise the toe. So.
Yeah, and again, he's got shoes on all four. So, like, but I guess if your hoof walls are thin,
yeah, that can amplify the trauma up the wall, right? It's sending shockwaves.
I guess
because
I mean,
it's if the shoe bounces at all against the sole. We don't know, or where it's connected to the wall. it's going to send those little shockwaves up. It's going to break blood vessels.
It was funny because we have a new barn helper. She's doing feedings and stuff like that. And she's very, 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 very green. And she was watching us wrap and she goes, what happened? And then it got to because he was holding it up. She goes, if they break a leg, what happens? And Robin and I are they're done. In rare instances, you could do a prosthetic if you got the time and the money. But a horse that active, are you kidding me? Let's just hope it's not a broken anything. Thanks for putting that in my brain.
Yeah.
But it was nice because she's obviously trying to learn. And again, for me, even 30 years into horses, I'm still learning. So, so Sugardyne. Okay.
And I'm trying sauerkraut.
And sauerkraut. Yeah. Hopefully I never have a double abscess again. But if I do, I might do one on either and do a true case study. Because my scientific mind wants to know. Right?
Double blind studies. We got to figure this out once and for all. This could really be something. And I hope people will let us know.
Yeah, maybe if they try it.
Or something else truly bizarre.
I don't wish an abscess upon them.
But most people have had them.
Right.
So what their cottage remedy is. I feel like maybe abscesses have more cottage remedies.
I think so.
Than most other things, just because they are invisible. And you would have had to treat an abscess no matter what, going back generations. It was you can ignore a lot of stuff on a workhorse, but if they can't walk, they can't work.
Yeah, and it's so easy to bruise, and they step on a rock, right? And what's funny is I have two barefoot horses, and Ferris, I guess it was two winters ago now, he was running from me in the field, and I couldn't figure out why, and I brought him in. And I was getting him for the farrier, and the farrier was like, oh, he blew an abscess in his heel bulb. I said, he did. He had no, we were riding. He had, there was no, that's a horse that would sometimes walk on gravel because he chose to, he's a pony. So, it's funny how we're always still learning. But I am, it is a mystery. It's to see what works and what it is.
And what the horse will tell you. You have a horse who was telling you very emphatically some things, and then Ferris didn't because he was being more stoic about it. So every single personality ends up getting treated differently because you just don't know until they tell you.
Yeah, one of my barn friends has her horse. She's like, oh, we've had abscesses every 2 months since, in the last 2 years. I'm like, are you kidding?
That's a lot.
It's a lot of abs. Well, I think with that, you got to look at something deeper. Is there a keratoma or something in there?
There's something going on. I've heard it described as slow laminitis before, too, constant abscesses.
Well, and that's, I was a little concerned with that, too. But so I guess we'll see what happens. But, I'm just very thankful that I have a team of people and that I know and trust. Because, I couldn't get there every day. So I was relying on people quite a lot.
Yeah.
And it was just really frustrating because I felt like nothing was working. And it's, which is why I reached out for help. And I'm really curious about the sauerkraut. I got to be honest. My German ancestors would be like, yes.
I really feel like there's something there. We should be using sauerkraut for more health
for
things.
More things.
More, slap it on, slap it on a wound. get all the antiseptic, the vinegar in there. That's got to do something. It's like iodine. Well, you just it sizzles and you cry a little. And
vinegar is a superpower. On an off note, I have a garage refrigerator that has had some mold and crusty stuff in it. It was, from two previous owners. It's just been there. And I tried Clorox. I tried all these different things. I soaked it. My dad went in there with a thing of vinegar and baking soda. And that shit is cleaner than it's ever been.
That's what my mom uses for everything.
Right?
I think Corey uses it on our pans, I think, because we have, we have regular pans, not nonsticks. So we don't dye, and you can't scrub them with anything but baking soda. And so he gets in
that
there.
That makes sense.
I love the smell of vinegar too. I love it.
I put white vinegar in my, my tick repellent. There's obviously some other things in it, but I think white vinegar is really good. You want to be careful because obviously it smells and a lot of people don't like the smell, but it really repels ticks so well.
Well, that's good to know.
Oh, it's so lovely.
Since I have 10,000 deer on my property at any given moment.
Yeah. Oh, and both of my horses have chronic Lyme. So, yeah. You know, I don't need them getting more tick bites. Right. And flaring. So, but white vinegar is one of the staples in that recipe. And it's very much, you can spray it around your house, around the baseboards and things like that to keep spiders out, to keep bugs out. You know, like I have a lot of cave crickets.
I'm going to need that recipe.
Yeah. Happy to give that to you.
I'm going to be going to buy an industrial size vat of vinegar.
Yes.
Okay. I've thought about it. I'm like, I should spray this entire house with something like that.
Well, what's funny is
put it in a pressure washer.
I'm terrible at marketing it. Like I make and sell this stuff and I never talk about it.
No, I don't think I knew that about you.
No. And it's small batch, right? Like I make to order. And I've
kind
of
called Heather's Bug Gone.
No, it's just it's literally it's marketed so beautifully. It's called Natural Insect Repellent. Like
wow,
it's
just, did you like trademark that?
Listen, okay. Most of my clients that buy my stuff like that are like, you know, my local clients. I do ship it out, but I'm terrible at marketing myself. You know this. I'm the opposite of a salesperson. I'm like, oh yeah, you should get that recipe. I'll give it to you. You know, like I'm ridiculous.
Well, you can't ship me all that vinegar. The post office will rebel.
Yeah, no, they won't like that. No, and so especially that much. But yeah, so I do that, and I use it around my house and on my dogs and on my kids and on my horses and on myself.
Oh, that's funny.
So, because I am allergic to ticks. I don't know if you know this about me.
Oh man, you can never come here again.
Well, no, here's my superpower. I'm like a reverse Spider-Man. Like I could feel them bite me. I'm that sensitive.
Oh yeah, so, I feel them walk if they get on me. I feel them.
Yeah, like, I feel it. I never get tick bites. Yeah, I never get a tick bite. I got one once because I felt it because I'm so sensitive to them that I just pick them right off. So they don't have time to get me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the only I almost never wear shorts outside. I usually what I'll wear usually are like very slick leggings and then tall socks, so they don't get on me at all because I think they fall off the socks or something. But if I wear shorts, I swear to God, I will feel something after I've been outside for a little while, and I'll be like, "Oh, hello, tiny tick. Yeah, you're gonna die now." They just no, absolutely not. No tick bites for me.
No,
Corey,
I don't play that game.
Not that lucky.
Really?
He does not notice them.
Yeah,
it's crazy. He's like, "What's on me?" I'm like, "God damn it! How do you have another tick on you?"
Yeah, we do tick checks. We definitely do tick checks throughout the year. And fun fact, they don't hibernate. So
no,
everybody they needs sure to know. Don't. You should check them all year, especially in the winter because of all the leaves that are down. They like to sit in the leaves.
Yeah.
So yeah, always check everything. It's just people don't notice them because they're wearing full legs, right? Like they're not wearing shorts, they're not wearing things like that. So yeah. I don't know how we got on that topic, but
horrible topic.
I'm so sorry. I'm literally terrified of arachnids, as you know.
Yeah, I'm trying not to talk about them. I'm trying.
I know. I'm just so glad that we solved the mystery case of lameness. And
I am too.
I hope Ben doesn't get an abscess now because of all his bruising.
Ben's bad. He's always like this.
And he's a pony, so.
And I'll tell you a fun story about Ben is that when I got him up here a couple years ago, he had a crack in his front hoof, like right in the middle. It just split. Just split. And every time I felt like we were going to solve this crack, because he's just on trims, right? But he's on 4-week trims, sometimes 3-week trims. And we would get close, and then it would just split a little more. And I was like, God damn it, gosh, it's making me just so crazy. And a few months ago, it did it again. And my farrier said, "Are you going to be around every day to clean this out?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Okay, I'm going to like," she like squared it off with the file, made like a notch. And then I cleaned it every day with the blue stuff.
Yep.
And then it really, it grew out like very quickly. It was insane. And then I had stopped riding altogether while I was waiting for Scoop Boots to come in because the ground was hard. It was a problem. I've got him going in Scoop Boots. I'm riding him a couple days a week. His hoof is perfect. It's awesome. Smooth. He was trimmed like 2 weeks ago and it still looks like a fresh trim.
Oh, I love that.
Because he's not getting any wear from work. He's wearing these Scoop Boots and they're completely protecting his hoof. No crack. You can still see the like beveled edge of the trim. I'm obsessed. This is my commercial. And just the fact that crack is gone so suddenly after making us crazy for 3 years.
Well, it's because you were treating it every day. Like my farrier has said, because Ferris had them for the first time this year as well. He's like, unless you're going to treat it every day with the Vetresen blue stuff, like the hoof stuff, it's not worth doing that notch, right?
You know what it was? It was Clorhex. That one, it was chlorhexidine is what I was spraying
with.
Oh,
okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a spray?
I put a spray bottle.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so I could use it for that purpose. She was like, you could use iodine, you can use Clorhex. I was like, I've had a Strangles barn. I use Clorhex for everything.
That's fair.
I trust it.
You know, the one thing that I really love about horse people, we all have like our own hacks.
Yes.
Like there's a lot of like tips and tricks and what works for me, maybe something different works for you. So it's a very interesting to kind of hear everyone's opinions. And
it's all built on trauma, right? Like this horrible thing happened. This got me through it. I will always return to it.
Oh, yeah. It's like superstitious too. Like at this point, right? Like it's like, no, because if I do something else and it doesn't work, I know this works. I'm just going to do it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. That's why we have all these
positive reinforce it. We do what works for us.
And then we get militants about it, and that's the horse community fighting with each other about.
Right, my way is better versus, you know. Mm-hmm. But clearly there's no one right way.
No.
At all.
No.
All right. Well, why don't we talk adulting wins, and then we'll sign off and say, you know, Happy New Year to everybody.
Adulting wins. Yeah, here we are in the new year. I will like to say I pulled a tarot card for 2026,
ooh,
and it was the moon.
Secrets.
Everything's hidden from your sight. I was like, thanks.
I'm catting around behind your back with another podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
That's fine. I only have time for this one. So you do you.
Please. Are you kidding me? You know that I wouldn't even have time. I get these LinkedIn like, oh, you could get a job as a co-host. I'm like, nope. I'm good.
And for some reason, I always think I'm going to get a job doing something. And I'm like, you work nonstop. When exactly are you doing the job?
I don't know. The idea of getting a paycheck is great, but the idea of having someone tell me what to do is terrible. So
absolutely. I can't do it. I've gone too far. I'm unemployable now. I've gone too far in the other direction.
I'm like, can I start out as the boss of everything?
So. Yeah, it's the only way it's going to work. Oh, I make my own hours and no calendar. You know what? I got up this morning. I usually wake up a little before 8, and then it's been cold. And so I'm like, nope. And I go back to sleep. And this morning I woke up a little around 8, and I thought, I have to meet Heather. And I just had a dream that I didn't. She was really mad at me. So I'm going to set my alarm for 8:30. And I slept until 8:37, my alarm going the whole time.
But you made it.
I made it. I'm here. Yeah.
You're here. Well, that's good. Well, thank you. I appreciate your lack of tardiness and your ability to wake up early. I know. I had to get up and take the kids back to their dad's house because they've been with me for, you know, like a lot of the week and stuff. But I had a really cool thing happen to me. I actually posted about it on my business spot page on Instagram. I was supposed to go run errands on Wednesday morning. It was like New Year's Eve. And something got canceled. And I was headed to the grocery store, and I get a phone call from my business partner, the chiropractor. And she was like, I need you to come to the office. There's a dog that needs you. Like, not scheduled for it, nothing. And I turned around and I went over. This dog would not be touched. Like, would not be touched. She couldn't do an evaluation on him. He was sensitive. He was defensive. And so I introduced myself. I was telling the owners a little bit about what I do. Not only did I touch that dog, okay, I detoxed his kidneys. I got the inflammation in his body to start subsiding, like fascia lines, like drainage lines, all of that. By the end, the dog was laying down with his back to me, the back that he would not let us touch. And I'm so pleased because this is why I do what I do. Like, yeah. And I felt so amazing because he let me help him. And I felt like I made a big difference. And so I'm really, really excited. And it's just an affirmation to me that, you know, everything I've learned along the way, like I still obviously every animal has something to teach me, but that I'm on the right track, that I'm doing something good. So that made me really happy.
The dog's obsessed with you now. So that's really great.
It's always good when an
animal's obsessed with you. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, you're my new boyfriend. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he wouldn't, you know, he would let me like maybe touch his chest a little bit, but he would not let me touch his back end. And then to, for him to lay down, relax and kind of doze with his back end to me in touching distance, that was a that's huge. That's huge mm-hmm. for a defensive animal. So, and I didn't get bit. So yay. That's always a win.
Yay. Yeah. Always a win.
You know, they're more likely to bite than horses are. So mm-hmm. you obviously have to be more careful. But he does have a history of biting the vets. So so yeah, so I'm excited. I felt really good about that. And it didn't work much this week, but I felt like the work I did was important. So
yes, good affirming moment to get you started.
Yeah.
Exciting. Exactly.
And also I'm going to add on, I've been trying to post more on social media about like the saddle fit and bodywork topics. So I'm gearing up to do an episode. So we're getting there. I'm
that's
on the
exciting.
I even wrote my intro and everything, disclaimer. Ooh. So
excited.
Yes. So I'm going to stop teasing people and actually get an episode out there.
People want to know. They want the Heather. They want the Heather cast.
They want the business Heather. So.
Business Heather. She gets pro on ya.
Yeah, stop making me professional and everything. Mm,
you're so sexy when you're professional.
Oh, well, thank you, darling. You make me feel cute. Well, I have to go to a dog show, so, and I know you're going shopping for a photo shoot, am I right?
Yeah, please.
Do we change jobs?
Man, this better be my last photo shoot for a while, let me just tell you. Not that I've done one since last year, but like it's fine, except I don't want to buy clothes and I don't want to do my hair. Mm. And I don't want anybody to tell me I have to wear makeup. And I could keep going with all the things I don't want to do.
Well, you don't want to be told what to do. I get it.
I don't want to be told what to do. I just am what I am, okay, people? I'm just a messy horse girl.
We're women in our 40s. We're feral as fuck. And mm-hmm. we will not be told.
Yeah, we're wild goddamn
women. We can be asked, but not told. That's why I love being in my 40s. I'm just like, well, I'm in my 40s, so deal with it.
I totally feel for everybody that's not in their 40s yet, like babes. You don't even know. It's
so much better.
So much better.
It's so much better. I know. I was a little weird about turning into 40, and then I was like, you know what? This is amazing. It's like my golden age.
Yeah. Yep. We got this.
We do. All right. Well, happy new year to you, my darling.
Happy new year, my favorite Heather.
I'll take it.
I have a lot of Heathers in my life and they're all great.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to take that one. All right. Until next time.
All right. See ya.
Thank you for being a little weird with us, horse girls. If you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your player of choice. Follow us on Instagram at Adulting with Horses Podcast, or even better, join our Adulting with Horses Clubhouse on Facebook, where you can become part of the show. Also, it's a great place to meet other horse crazy women. Thanks, and see you next time.